Good afternoon, listeners, to tuned in to 104.6 Planet FM. Dion Bonekor, and welcome to this 1st July 2017 broadcast of Susegad Don Power. My name is Xavier Braganza, your anchor for today. And at the outset, I would like to acknowledge the good guys, Richard Miranda, Baptist Lobo, and Hector D'Souza. And a guy here who is consolidating our efforts on the console is Anish. And of course, we also would like to acknowledge Planet FM for enabling us to get onto this platform to uplift and showcase the Konkani language, Konkani music, and the Konkani culture. We are happy you're part of us, and I'm privileged to bring to you today a family of outstanding musicians. Yes, a family. I'm talking about a single family who will very passionately talk about their roots, culture, music, and family values. Who is that family? Right, let's get on straight to them. I would like to bring right up to you guys Ronald, Honorine, Tanya, and Natasha Fonseca. That is the family of fantastic musicians all in the same household. Let me get on to you, Ron.
Yes, Xavier.
Right. Maybe you'd like to say hi. All of you would like to say hi to everybody.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, that's the hi from the Fonsecas. And can you tell us something about your roots, Ron? What about your roots?
Okay. Basically, Mom and Dad are from Goa. They were born in Goa. Dad comes from Thivi and a village called Madel, and Mom comes from Kolwali. So they moved to Mumbai in search of jobs, and that's where most of us were born, in Mumbai. At least about my sisters and I were born in Mumbai.
And how about you, Honorine?
Yeah, I'm also a Goan, proud to be one. Both my parents are originally from Goa. My grandparents lived in Goa, basically. But, we were born and brought up in Bombay.
And what was your maiden surname?
Oh, my maiden surname was Fernandez. So, yeah, I belong to the best cooks are the Fernandezes, as you will know.
Oh, that's good. That's what Ron is great.
Yeah, and probably every steamer or a cruise ship has got a Fernandez as a cook.
That's really nice. So, when we talk about music, music is always someone who has a taste for music. So bringing your cooking skills into music here. Well done. That's nice. So when you talk about your background going to Mumbai, it was known as Bombay then. How did you acclimatize between Goa and Bombay?
Well, we haven't lived in Goa per se. We haven't worked in Goa, but we love the place. I mean, given a choice, if everything was perfect, it would have been fantastic to have lived and worked over there. But be practical, Bombay is where the jobs and the money is. So we were fine in Bombay, but every year, as long as we were in India, we had to make a trip to Goa. And even now, if we, whenever we go down to India, it's understood that a trip to Goa is there.
So what's your memories about Goa, you know, when you go home, the ancestral house and the furniture, something like that?
Oh, I have great memories. Basically, Dad taking me fishing, climbing trees for mangoes and coconuts, and then sitting on what was famously called the Balkau, where we always had a guitarist who would probably, you know, sing along, and we had shots of Feni, of course, when we grew up.
Oh, that's nice. So, Anrin, can you throw some light on the Balkau thing? And I know they used to say something called the Ladai or something like that. It's a litany or rosary, and I'm not too sure. But
yeah, I mean, all the old houses, most of the old houses have that Balkau. It's the it's made of stone, but for a hot climate, that's perfect, actually. And what I remember is, early evenings, just before your dinner, like, we used to all sit on the Balkau along with, you know, the lizards and the dog and everyone around. And, have your Feni. I mean, whether you were 7 years old or 70 years old, you had a glass of Feni in your hand.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are listening, we're now going to take you back to Goa, sitting on the Balkau, and we're going to have some music. I hope you guys have got your shots of Feni in your hand, because we want you to say cheers, and let's have Ron, Tanya, and Natasha, commonly known as Kim, who are going to play something really from
this
the Balkau.
This is a song my dad wrote on his famous Balkau, and he accompanied himself with the violin. Punje tamwapuram betim Betim san mapsha me taxi. Awanite morgao chilutin. Dogai boslio mapshe chibagin. Son ritu masarko. Rom tu je poljato, goros namaru paudor tu gadoro.
Oh, that was nostalgic. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Are you going to give us another one?
Yeah, probably later.
Okay, later. Let's get on to Tanya and Natasha, okay? What memories do you have of your early days in Mumbai and Goa? Probably you've been to Goa?
Yes, I mean, we migrated to New Zealand at a very young age. I was 7 and Natasha was 4. But I certainly remembered my time in Goa. When we used to live in Mumbai, we used to travel every year, at least once a year, to Goa. And I remember just dipping your feet in the water, going to the beaches, going down to the pools, visiting relatives. Also, I guess, visiting old Goa and the lovely old Goan houses there.
Oh, so that was Tanya. And how about you, Kim?
I think my fondest memory in Goa, although I was quite young, would have to be my parents taking me into the water at the beach, even though I was quite scared of crabs then. But then I really got accustomed to the water, and it just made me love it. And I can call myself a water baby and be proud of that because of Goa.
Oh, that's nice. And I believe you love crab curry, is that right?
Oh, yes, of course.
And prawns.
And yeah, prawns.
So like a true Goan.
So you like prawns or crabs? Which one is better?
Well, I can't really choose between them two, because so I love both of them.
Does Mom make the better crab curry or Dad?
With my help, she does.
Oh, that's good. Ellen, you'd like to talk about something about the Goan cuisine?
Actually, our meals, 5 days of the week at least, are home-cooked. And I picked up some stuff from my mother and a lot from my mother-in-law also. I've modified it, you know, to suit our taste over here, because we can't really handle the spice that we used to be able to. But I still cook home meals, and they do help me in the house. Especially Natasha is very interested in cooking, and she often turns out better dishes than I do. But we love our rice curry.
Natasha, what do you is it sarpatel or
oh definitely or shakuti? Yeah. I think if we both if we worked as a teamwork, we could definitely get it done.
Oh, that's nice. Now, yeah. Could you you know, for a person who's not Goan, how would you try to explain what is shakuti and what is the different cuisine? Could you throw some light on that?
I would say among the pork dishes, the most famous are sarpatel and vindaloo. Then you can have shakuti, generally it's chicken shakuti. Then in fish, you'll have kaldeen and amotik and other fish curries.
That's really fantastic. You know, when I was young, I used to have all these names, but I'm still confused. So can you kind of differentiate for someone who's a beginner, not me, but someone else who's especially of our next generation, can you differentiate when you say amotik, when you say shakuti, when you say kaldeen? Can you draw some light onto the specifics of these?
Let's take sarpatel, for example. You'll have pork, and you'll also have some sort of a liver. Some people use pig liver. And some people use goat's liver, for example. Then you have vindaloo, which has a little excess of vinegar in it. And the pieces that are cut are slightly bigger than what you'd use for sarpatel.
And amotik?
Don't really know the difference. I guess from the name it says that it's a little sweet and sour, probably. But not sweet.
It's
more
not hot. I thought amotik was something.
It's not very.
Okay. That's nice. That's really good to know something about our cuisine. Tanya and Natasha, you've heard dance singing and you've heard some of the old folk music of Goa. Ron, I think you were talking some time back about the mando. Yeah. And what exactly is the mando?
Yeah, I think Mondrian will explain it, and I'll probably give an example of sing a verse of a mando.
Yeah, I think a mando is it's Goan, but it's a meeting point of Indian and Western musical tradition. It has elements of, you know, both Indian and Western culture. That's more Portuguese that I'm referring to. Ron, you got something you can play, a mando?
Kaulo kira krotai daram Konui maritu kafaram Kaulo kidak rotai daran Konoi maritu kafaran Muja puti chikobor Alla rezala Uron wots reboran Muja puti chikobor Alla rezala Uron wots reboryan.
Ah, that is superb. Really nice.
Yeah, that was a mando. And dulpod is more, from everyday Goan life. It's like a folk song. It's like improvised a lot. You've got dulpod?
Yes, I do. Un ramu jamama, and he has Santa Tuka. Un ramu jamama, and he has Santa Tuka. And he mazo richa pila lagi tel mandinaka. And he mazo richa pila lagi tel mandinaka. Un Ondin mama I love, ani bach ponak liplo. Ondin mama I love, ani bach ponak liplo. Ani mazo richa pilenta kaya kagan sa kailo. Ani mazo richa pilenta kaya kagan sa kailo.
Oh, that's really nice. That's really superb. But I think one of the things that we were talking some time back, and I think it was Tanya who probably did some kind of research or something on this, and she's told us that the mando is more a monologue. I think it's one person singing to another person.
Yeah, it's like a conversation, I suppose, between like a duet between two people.
Oh, that's okay. That's really good. That's a learning to me.
Yeah.
That's nice. And the folk song, it's got a nice rhythm, and it's everybody gets in and joins in, and it's merrymaking. That's very nice. Let's get on to you, Kim. Now, you've heard this kind of music. You've heard the Goan folk songs and the folk music, and you've heard the classical music, what we would call.
Yeah.
But I think, Ron, you'll agree with me. I think you like more of contemporary music, like the Beatles and stuff like
classic
that.
Classic rock, as
you would you like to say something on that?
Yeah. Basically, I grew up loving the music of the 70s and 80s and what's described now as classic rock, specifically because of the lyrics. And, you know, when you have a passion and you go deeply into the lyrics, it makes a lot more sense.
So, Ron, does he still sing to you, Love, Love Me Do?
No, I think he's forgotten that.
Oh, so do you sing him when I'm 64?
No, he's better.
So you still love me when I'm 64. Okay, that's nice. Okay, Tanya, so we've heard this music, you know, you've heard the Goan folk song, and we've learned about the contemporary English music, like the Beatles and Cliff Richard, Elvis and all that. But you our next prodigy and our next generation, you know, you are great musicians, but for your generation, how would you fuse, you know, the old, it may sound boring, it may sound a bit slow to you, or how would you fix it or mix it with, like, you know, 60-60 as of today, you know? Or is that 60-60? I'm not sure, am I saying the right
660.
Group? 660. Oh, 660. Oh, gosh. Can see, look, I'm not in that group, right? So I'm really outdated. But 660 and all these other guys like Rihanna and Bruno Mars, how do you guys fit in with the Konkani, and how would you like to promote it? Would you like you really to take it on?
I really love that song by 660, Don't Forget Your Roots. And I mean, I feel it really appeals to our generation, Natasha and I, especially because we've been privileged, we've had the privilege to be exposed to the music from my father's side, whether it be Konkani or from classic rock. But I think it would really benefit this next generation, especially whose parents are Goans, to have more exposure to Konkani music. I feel like we really lack that exposure. And we don't know much about it. I mean, this yesterday was the first time I heard about the mando, and I think it would really help if we learned more about it and incorporated this sort of style into our music, and maybe a small gig, maybe one song or two. But yeah, that would be a good start.
I definitely agree with my sister Tanya. The Beatles, for example, because my dad grew up learning about the Beatles, and so did we. And the fact that we know quite a lot of lyrics, if you'd agree, Tanya.
Yeah.
It's just all about exposure in the end. So the fact that my dad actually sang these songs to us growing up means we know so much about it right now. And I'm proud to know quite a few songs of the 70s. Yeah,
that's nice. That's really good. So, right, all of you guys up there on the listening watch, there's a powerful message being sent out to you. Get your kids, get your next generations, get the other, and you get involved in promoting this culture of ours. Fuse it with whatever is there, the reggae or the hip hop that's of today, and let's get going. Let's carry on our traditions and move on from age to age. So again, I'm going to ask you, Tanya, I know you spoke about Hans and you spoke about Thomas Newman and all these kind of guys. So
yeah.
They're your genre of people.
Mm.
And Kim, how about two of you throwing some light of how you'd like to fuse this? And then maybe we'll have some music from you guys.
Yeah, of course. Yes, sure. In answer to your question, my sister and I, we do like modern music and we do like folk music. And certainly one of my favorite types of music is film music, particularly Hans Zimmer. He composes for big blockbuster films like Inception, The Dark Knight. And the reason I love him is his work is because of the harmonies. And I'm a big fan of harmony, just like my father. We sing together in harmony, and he composes for orchestras, and I'm a violinist as well. So that's what really stands out for me. So if Konkani music could incorporate this, I would definitely be up to playing it.
So, you know, when you talk of the music you're talking about, like in today's music, we see a lot of music and there are a lot of words and lyrics, but they're not really dancing kind of music. We find it hard to dance. I know, but would you agree with me?
I definitely agree. I'd say, I may be generalizing, but I'd say music nowadays is more for dancing and focuses on rhythm and beat. Whereas before, we really focused more on lyrics and the meaning behind them.
It's not to say that all music of today doesn't focus on lyrics, of course. There are some meaningful music,
But that's why it's good to have a balance between things like classic rock, the Beatles, and then stuff nowadays. As you said, 660 and Rihanna. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right, guys, you're listening out there. It's time for you to put in an effort to fuse all the folk songs of India. Of course, we are now focusing on Goa, but we also mean to focus on all the other states of Goa where we need to fuse and get on with our modern day times so as not to lose our heritage and not to lose our legacy. We'd really like your feedback and your suggestions so that we can improve what is known as the culture of what we bring from our home motherland, India. Can we have some music now? Let's say, are you playing some? Let's have something really jazzy and rocky. And
Natasha
really,
and I?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, of course.
Yeah, so this is a song that me and my sister love. She'll be playing violin and I'll be playing the keyboard. One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Say it's true. There's nothing like me and you. I'm not alone. Tell me you feel it too.
That was really awesome. You know, it's ladies and gentlemen, you'll agree with me, it's really difficult to sing and play, and I've got this fantastic young lady here doing that so beautifully. So
thank you. Thank you very much.
Well done. Very nice. I like the harmony. I like the melody. It was just really great.
Thank you.
That's really nice. So let's carry on with music again, because we just want to talk about the Goan music, the Konkani music, and the Konkani speaking language, not only in Goa, all over. We have the same rhythm, we have the same beats, we have the same kind of, almost the same blending structure. But how would you take it for the future now? How is it? How can you help? I know you made a good call, and I think it's nice our listeners are going to listen to this. We need to have a kind of a gig, or we need to have kind of a show where we can get the young people to come in and take control, take charge of things, and organize things by themselves, blend it with what is happening today, along with what is there. So what are your suggestions? What's your call?
I agree with you. I think it'll help if all the youth got together and made a plan to do so. I mean, you have things like the Goan Association, but it's just, it'll be much easier for us if we plan things ourselves.
I think what Natasha said is right, but on top of that, learning Konkani, the lyrics would be a good start. So we possibly need someone knowledgeable in that aspect. Like my dad knows how to sing in Konkani, and I'm sure he'd be more than willing to help us out.
Sure will.
Yes, I think that would be a good start. Introducing maybe one song like, I know everyone knows, everyone loves the O Maria Pita She. So that would be a good start, maybe.
Yeah, can we hear that now?
Oh, yeah, we haven't.
Yeah. Okay. Right, sorry, putting in a spot. I should have. Okay, that's good. But yeah, it's nice because we see, I know Planet FM as well, and has also done this, and they've got a lot of people up here who have come up with promoting Konkani. I know we had Isidore and we had Corwin who were here trying to promote the language. We've had the Goans. I'm part of the committee. I'm still a member there, but we try and promote the Goan cuisine and the Goan learning of the language, right? And there's a lot of avenues, but people need to take advantage. I mean, you can open your shop, but people have to come into the shop, and that's what we find. It's not happening. So we really need you guys to, you know, spread out. And I hope this broadcast, people who got listening ears can take, not only listen, take action. Because I know Agnello does a fantastic theat, and we're going to have one now organized by Paul. That's really because it really kind of hats off to them. People like Andrew bringing Lorna here. It's really nice. But we need all of us, and we need the young people to take in. So maybe we'll have some music and to highlight what we can see of our Goan or Konkani culture.
Gana song pori jivit suki kori shitol kai jivari
This is a just simply lovely piece. It's one of my favorites, what you just heard. And while we were waiting and hearing that song, we're now going on to the next part of what we intend to talk to our friends around here is about family values. And again, I picked up on this family because they have all the ingredients to make up a real good family. But then I think I'm going to interrupt this point and I'm going to ask Ron, because he suddenly remembers he knows Maria Pitache.
Oh, I'm probably just singing a couple of verses. Give me a key again. Oh, sorry. Oh, Maria Pitache, 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 oh, Maria Pitache.
Okay. Oh, that's nice. That is a good effort. I put you on the spot up there, but I think you're like a good musician. You guys have just lifted us all up. Well done. What's the meaning of that song? Sorry.
I think it's probably a love song to Maria, if I'm not mistaken. It's sort of Portuguese, and I'm not really sure what all the words, what they mean. Yeah, I don't know. But it sounded like a love song.
Okay. Right, let's get on to, again, our family now. You know, when we talk about our families, and when we talk about especially Goa or back home in India, we have certain patterns that we do. You know, we go to church and we have our meals together. How often does it happen in a hectic place and in today's times where it's hard to even see each other in the day? How do you guys manage that? On, can I ask you?
Yeah, 9-to-5 life during the week, 5 days a week, is very hectic. It's everyone doing their own thing, what they have to do, basically, to work, to uni, to part-time jobs. And the only time we meet, I mean, is obviously evenings, sometimes late evenings. But I'm the one who comes home first, but the girls start trooping in one behind the other, and then Ronald. But we sort of, when the course of doing a kitchen work or on the lounge, we always exchange notes as to what happened during the day, the good things that happened, the bad things that happened, the not so good things. And we do keep in touch that way. There's a lot of conversation that happens.
That's good. So, Ron, you want to say something?
Yeah, I think our living room is a hub where we sit together. Even if one of the girls is doing uni work, she would still sit there and listen to us, share our views, and, just make conversation, basically. And there's a lot of bonding that goes on in this time. So I think it's very important for families at least to spend a couple of hours, late evenings, just trying to talk to each other and bond that way.
What we see today is, I know we probably all get into the living room but I've noticed, and I think it's not I who's noticed it, but it's happening in today's world. We see a lot of texting going on while you're eating, while you're socializing, and we don't really get that connection, which is, what used to be in good old days, where, we used to sit with the family, have breakfast together, probably have lunch together, have dinner together, and these meals were a kind of a meeting place where we exchange views. We spoke about what happened in the office, we spoke what happened in school, what happened in college or university, and that was like a round table where everything was shared. Do you think it's possible to do it now?
It's not easy to. We've adapted in the sense, like, what we do is our living room is, as Ron said, the hub, and it's literally the hub. Like, we have the laptops there, all the mobiles are there, so even if someone is sitting on the laptop over there, they're still conversing in between. Someone may be playing the piano, and if I'm in the kitchen and I find something nice being played that I like, I come out and sort of listen properly. And similarly, if Ronald finds a song that he's fond of, then he'll come and join in the singing. So our living room is not really that clean and tidy during the week, but that's fine. That's the way I want it. We have what you call, everyone knows what the open door policy is. And the girls don't sit in their rooms, basically. The only time they go to their rooms is to sleep. The rest of the time, whatever they are doing, it's in the lounge. And I think that helps a lot.
Okay, so Natasha, let's say you have a problem, you have an issue, okay, and how do you solve your issue? Do you tell Tanya first, or do you go straight to dad, or you go to mom?
I think the first go-to would be both my parents. It just depends who's available. But I like the fact that I could talk to both of them, because I'd get two different sides to solving the problem. I mean, for example, before I got into nursing, I wasn't too sure what career I would like to have pursued. So I did ask my parents what they thought, and my dad said, you know, you're really good at IT work, at computers, so why don't you go in for that? But then my mom said, you know, you have to think about it first. You still have time this time. Just think about what you like doing the most and go ahead with that. I mean, they were both helpful in their different ways, and I just realized that I liked nursing better than computers.
Oh, that's good. And yeah. How about you, Tanya?
Yeah, I mean, my sister Natasha, she's right. I generally go to my mom first. She's more the communicator in the family. Dad's more the doer, I suppose. So he's more practical in terms of if something needs to be done, he'll help towards doing it. So that's generally how I come to them with the issues that I'm experiencing or just anything I want to share. I'm open with my parents. I don't feel the need to hide things from them. So that's really important, I suppose. And that's how we keep close and connected as a family.
Oh, I like that, Ron. I really like that. Like old men, I like that you follow commands. Very good. It's nice. I'm really happy that you're the doer. Very good. Well done. I think that's good. So let's say you have an issue and you want to discuss, probably you only want to tell between the two of you. Is there a time when you all two can be, is there any secrets that you all keep among yourself which you don't tell mom and dad?
Well, only if it doesn't stress them out. I mean, if
so
something
who gets
is
more stress, is mom or dad?
Oh, I think mom probably. Dad's a little more calm, or he doesn't show it.
Okay, so
either way.
how do we distress mom?
Oh, I don't know. Natasha, what do you think?
Just take over the curries, I think.
Yeah, take over the cooking.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm. Dad keeps the kitchen apparently a mess. Natasha and my mom sort of collaborate and work together as a team. I sort of stand on the sidelines.
Just waiting to eat.
Yeah.
So that's good. So it's good you delegate things. But Tanya, tell me about your music. I mean, did the parents have any influence on that, or was it your own choice?
My dad told me how I first got into the violin. I had a choice in intermediate school to choose an instrument I wanted to play, and my dad told me that his father played the violin and that I should go towards picking the violin and learning that instrument. And then I just decided to learn it, and here I am now, and I don't have any regrets. And I also learned piano, and we do voice as well. Music is definitely a big part of our life. It helps bring our family together, like my mom said, in the living room, if I'm learning a new song, suddenly my sister comes along and plays, and then my dad comes along, and that's how we stay connected.
Oh, that's really good. It's really incredible. I just happened to eavesdrop when you were talking to Hector outside when we had a break. And while eavesdropping, I heard that you guys are doing some vocal training. And that's really superb because you're so involved in music, playing and then singing and now vocal training. So I feel you're perfect, but you want more perfection.
That's, well, far from perfect.
That's really
trying.
Outstanding. Really nice. So that's good. That's really nice. So can we ask Ron and on you, if you compare the family values of our parents' time, has anything changed? Is anything?
They were a lot more conservative, frankly speaking. But then we were in a different country as well. The mindset was, I think, quite different, where it was they were a lot more responsible for us. But here we teach the children to be responsible for themselves, so that if they're going out late, they know exactly what not to do, safe driving and things like that. So the responsibility is on them. We have taught them, I mean, the things that they shouldn't be doing. And they're old enough to know that they have to listen for their own good.
That's good. What you, Ron?
Yeah, I think family values come down in a long... most of it can just flow from, you know, from generation to generation. It all depends on how well you embrace them. And, I think there's a lot of good that's passed on, you know, over the years. And we just got to balance that with our everyday life, which we live currently.
I like what you said, when we've got to embrace them. But when you look at it practically on ground, we find our own youth who come with us our kids, when they come here, somehow they kind of, I wouldn't say revolt, but they try to go away from some of the things that we do. So it's like let's give an example. Like, we have all these, like the Goans, we have, the dances, and we have the shows, and we have the tiats. Very few of our own kids will be there. One is, of course, we are not promoting it, but the second thing is even they have no initiative. So don't you think that we kind of softening and toning down things?
So I agree in a way, but I think it starts with the nuclear, where nucleus, which is the family. So, like, if you spend time listening to stuff like the Konkani music and folk songs of Goa, if you talk about Goa, if you visit Goa, rather than, you know, some people choose to go to Indochina and other Asian places, but we still think that home is where Mumbai is, and Goa is, part of us. So if you got, over a period of time, you got to imbibe all these things in them, and, you know, I think it will greatly influence them.
Oh, that's nice. We'll come back to Mumbai and Goa a little later. Let's have some nice music now. And we got Anish giving us some fantastic rhythm.
Hey, Rupne tuche ni alta, se kalzan mucha rikla, ajayo begi tu kasa sheta. Anjayo vegi tu kasa sheta.
Zauli tu jite sona, kui asai mun somzona, lori pol tu ka asti baguita.
Pauti so tu muche moro puria, tu ka poi makala tu na bukta.
Surti na kede vodle, ai ler tu ka. Aurani, Sobiti, Zodi, Lori.
Right, that is good. And here, team, you're back. Just a question for Tanya and Natasha. And actually, it's also for Ron and Hon. It's, you know, when we talk about education, we're still going back to our culture. And me being a teacher now here, I was, of course, 23 years in the army before. But when I've come here, I'm a teacher. And I see there's a lot of conflict going on in the expectation of parents. They want some things of Indian education, like they want tuitions, they want a lot of work to be done, a lot of homework. And at the same time, they want things that are, you know, what is happening in this country, in New Zealand, which is more carefree, more child or student centered. And so what is your feeling of how do you feel? I'm going to ask Tanya and to give me your impression. You know, when you were in Bombay or in Mumbai, the kind of education you had there. What's the positives, the plus and minus that you have it or that we can have here? And Ron and Anna, I'd like you to also put in your...
Well, I mean, the fact that Natasha and I came here when we were quite young means that we didn't really have quite a long education in India. I certainly remember I was in what we call year one and year two in India, and it was quite strict, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, learning maths and English, we certainly didn't learn any other languages, Hindi or... but yeah, since coming here, the education has been much more open. My parents are certainly open.
Sorry, are you telling me you didn't learn Marathi there?
No, I did not.
In Mumbai?
No. Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
I picked up from, I don't know, outside within the family, maybe some little bit. of course, now it's gone. But yeah, I mean, certainly coming to New Zealand, the education system is much more freer. My parents have been open to just supporting me and my sister in whatever we want to learn in university and what we want to do and aspire in becoming.
Okay, so, you know, what we see now, if you look at the world, what's happening in America, and I hope I'm not being judged in what I'm saying, but it's a lot of boost for Indians. You know, they're taking over all the universities. They're doing well and they're getting all the scholarships. It's basically Indians. And when you ask them, they will always say it's something to do with what they learned back home, the kind of training or the kind of mindset they got from back home. While here you find it... so how do you find the NCEA here or the university studies here? How do you feel? Do you feel it's nice when you compare to CBSE or to the boards in India?
Well, I wouldn't know much about the education system in India, but from what I've heard from my cousins, definitely it's much harder over there than it is over here. Over here, again, I'm generalizing, but they're more lenient compared to studies in India. So that I really admire that over here. They really give people a chance.
Okay, that's nice. How about anything you'd like to say on and Ron?
Not really. I mean...
The plus point over here is there are a lot more opportunities for kids when they're in school, which when I remember when we were kids, there was no time for anything. It was just studies, basically. So, they're lucky to get those opportunities that they have over here, frankly.
That's true. Okay, so we're going to have Ron and his lovely girls going to give you Teach Your Children.
Yeah, we thought of this song because it's so apt on passing on, what you know, your knowledge to the kids and the kids passing them on to your parents. Okay, here we go. Have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well,
their father's help will slowly go by and feed them on your dreams. The ones they pick, the ones you know by. Don't you ever ask them why. If they told you, you would cry. So just look at them and sigh. And know they love you.
That's a fantastic message. Really, really worth taking home. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you got that. Teach your children. And now we're going to have another number again. And I'm not sure what it is, but it's the young ones who is Tanya and Natasha going to give us this.
This is You've Got a Friend, one of our favorite songs. Hope you guys like it.
When you're down and troubled and you need a helping hand and nothing, oh, nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Winter, spring, summer or fall, all you've got to do is call, and I'll be there, yes, I'll be there. You've got a friend. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh yeah, you've got a friend.
Thank you.
That was really fantastic again. Well done. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys are having your Feeny shots, because Ron and I have almost finished half a bottle and we are back in Goa. So
yeah,
I hope you guys are right. You're enjoying the beach, enjoying the scenario in your minds about the laid-back Goa on the balcony and having sorpotel along with Goa sausages and motik and shakuti and on the beach. And, of course, the fantastic beat boys and the beat drummers in Goa. I'd like now to thank the Fonseca family, and they were really amazing. You know, I really enjoyed anchoring this afternoon show, because I have been uplifted in spirit. I've been uplifted not only musically but also emotionally, going back home and thinking of the lovely, lovely, lovely Goa. So we wind up with just reminding you, we did discuss about our roots. Be proud of your roots. Be proud of everybody else's roots. Respect each other. We're not the best, but we are as good as anyone else. And let's have fusion. We could see the family values, the cuisine. Keep cooking, and callers will be there. Enjoy the food, and put that. Send it to your generations. Pass it on. Don't keep it. Don't put it in a. Don't bury it in a grave. Take it and hang it and pass it on to our next generation, so they can carry on our legacy. Also, we did speak about music and fusion. So the young ones, the young people up there, we urge you to come up and join these two lovely girls, Tanya and Kim or Natasha, because they are going to lead us and take us next level of our young people. So It's a big challenge. We'd really like to hear a response from you. And of course, we also spoke about family values. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us have to keep our family values. And of course, Ron and On give us a fantastic example, a real role model. And I think I really enjoyed everything they did say here. But a big thank you to a guy who's here who said, don't mention my name, but Hector at least is here. And you know what he's done? He's at least given me a lot of moral support, a lot of moral boosting. So thank you, Hector. And Anish, of course, this guy, I can't say much because he's just too good. He's there giving us the right music. So ladies and gentlemen, have a good afternoon. Enjoy yourself. And I'm going to leave you with some more music. Till we meet again, Dio Morekor. And of course, your feedback and suggestions is positive or negative. It's good. Goodbye and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dio Morekor.
Até para me que borre Só das calças Né só de bonsar Que é samba levere Corom desatator Praia e tiro o som Que é varre Guarem que até na raquia Né é no bega som que sai Bore duro zor Tiro a toi mo cor Que te loto cor Que esquio um breque Tu cate cutator Vuc corina cai rogres Que ne sil pur un sol Poi lot mog tot Sa con clacta corbo Tore cere che cleato Mog coru Toritor mukorum cedum lagi tu kadorina tor. Propres keskari korun bodor kesatokor. Cedum akha kandor, kistun dado shikor. Moja utra chaya, bawa uras dor. Tu chamoga nastana dusria kusum kinta tor. Notice the anecdotes that I can get to go.